from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. It's Free Agency Day. We are exclusive on WGR Sports Radio 550 today with Marty. I'm Brian. And yes, indeed, as you would expect, a lot of signings already. Marty, am I wrong here in that they've misled us in recent years to believe that free agency opens at noon, but all the news is before noon? Like, have I just like tuned out the last couple of years, or my mental block has just gotten the
no,
way?
Well, there was a time where there was a courting period, right?
You
were allowed to talk to players and teams, and no numbers were to be negotiated. It didn't matter. They said, you know what, we don't have to worry about the courting period, because it's the same thing. Everybody talks to one another. Not only this year have we not gotten, we've already gotten some UFA deals that have been leaked before noon. We've gotten some RFA deals, like Joseph Woll, for example. He has another year left on his deal. He's technically not allowed to sign an extension until noon today. Mm-hmm. And this morning it leaked that, oh, well, he's got a 3-year extension at $3.66 million. I'm like, wait. What's the rush? They had all day tomorrow, or all day today and tomorrow, to announce it. But anyway, you know, I was one of those guys that signed at 12:01 one year, but I also had permission from my former club to talk to other teams. So that's the difference.
Well, Sabres trying to bulk up the bottom six, as we know from Kevin Adams throughout the course of this offseason. Reports indicate right now that Sam Lafferty, most recently with Vancouver, coming off a 13-goal year. Elliot Friedman reporting 2 years, $2 million per with Buffalo over that period of time. Again, remains to be made official by the Sabres, who, by the way, will be opening the home portion of their schedule after returning from Europe on Friday, October 10th against the LA Kings. So that is a date to circle, as they've released the home opener today. And there are other reports, obviously, you know, potentially around the Sabres that we'll get to momentarily. Obviously, though, the biggest news, and I mean, you could pick your spot here based on the size of some of the deals, but Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault reportedly have signed with the Nashville Predators. Former Sabre Brandon Montour on a massive deal with Seattle, 7 years, more than $7 million per. It's all part of the frenzy, Marty. And I guess a quick thought, if we can start with obviously the Sabres and Sam Lafferty, which, along with the acquisition of Beck Malenstein over the weekend, is clearly reshaping the bottom six.
Yeah, and we talked about where my holes are with the roster right now. I have one open spot on the top six, and that obviously is vacated by Jeff Skinner. And I had three open spots in the bottom six. Now, one of them was Malenstein filling in that spot. So that's good. Sam Lafferty could also fill one of those spots. That's totally fine. But in the end, if you made the decision to buy out Jeff Skinner, is, in my opinion, knowing that you will fill that spot up. Like, you have to think that something bigger will be happening for the Sabres to fill in that left wing top line Thompson, Tuck, and X, right? And there's a wide open gap right there. Maybe it's Peterka. Okay, well, then it becomes Cousins, Quinn, and who? Like, X right there. I don't think Zach Benson fits into that spot. So, you know, I still think it's got to be there. But two of the three bottom six spots are being taken now, which is reshaping the bottom six, which is fine with me. These are still good moves.
Shayna Goldman's going to join us throughout pretty much the bulk of this show as you return to your TSN duties in just a few minutes, Marty. A quick thought on, well, some of the latest breaking news is that Jacob Chychrun has been dealt yet again. This seemed inevitable based on the length of rumor time period with the Ottawa Senators, and he has gone to the Capitals, who have had a really interesting offseason so far after making their way into the playoffs last year and having their farm club win the Calder Cup once again. They not only pick up Chychrun for Nick Jensen and a pick, but reports indicate they're going to sign Matt Roy as well on their back end. So an area that has been of concern, certainly for the Capitals, appears to be an awful lot better right now. The report from Elliot Friedman is that Matt Roy gets himself a hefty raise and massive term, the most possible at 7 years, $5.5 million. So the Capitals will look dramatically different, but it's going to be hard to over... I feel like I'm, you know, jumping all over the place here, but I think many would point to Nashville and the fact that they've added Stamkos and Marchessault today.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge, right? The Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz coming in last year, the first-year general manager, and now his second time around with the free agent day. He goes out and gets Stamkos and Marchessault to replace, well, let's say replace Stamkos in Tampa. They signed Jake Guentzel. You know, that's 7 years, $9 million a year. That's a lot. You know, we can look at, you mentioned Montour. Reinhardt also. Now, Reinhardt, that is a very friendly number for Sam Reinhardt at 8 years at $8.6 million. I mean, so there's been some friendlier deal, and then you've got some deals that are a lot of money. Like Tyler Bertuzzi, who signs a 4 years at $5.5 million with Chicago. So there's some bad deals that are being given out on July 1. There has been some good deals, I feel, but there's some bad ones also.
Well, the Hawks, though, obviously very aggressive today. The most recent report has them bringing in Alec Martinez, who I wasn't sure, you know, whether he would stay as far west as possible, which has been pretty much his career. But he's gone to Chicago reportedly on a 1 year deal for $4 million. So, again, that's a really nice veteran presence for them to have on the blue line. Speaking of the defense corps, Carolina's been in a great state of potential flux based on the number of UFAs this year, but also the desire to get Jacob Slavin done. And they have done that with an 8 year extension worth just shy of $52 million in total. So, Yakov Trenin, another one that we talked about a lot on this show, Marty, as a potential for Buffalo's bottom six, has reportedly signed with the Minnesota Wild. The report indicates it's 4 years, $3.5 million per. That's a pretty big number for a guy not that long ago who went through, you know, pretty challenging negotiation process with the Nashville Predators, but ended last year with Colorado, and I think is a pretty serviceable guy, but that's it's a pretty big number over 4 years at $3.5 million per.
Yeah, listen, some players, sometimes you say terms, they want terms, like Tanev in Toronto, right? He wanted 6 years, but he goes to $4.5 million. So you're thinking, okay, he took more years, maybe a little bit less money. For Trenum, it's been a little bit of both. I think that's a pretty hefty over 4 years. Anthony Stolarz, looks like Kevin Weeks reported, will be going to Toronto on a two-year deal in the mid-twos. So for Toronto, that's really good. I feel like that's a really good number for Anthony Stolarz as well in the mid-two, two-and-a-half. So,
and that's, puts their future goaltending at under $6 million for the two of them for the next for next year specifically. And then, you know, we'll see. But obviously, Wall got the 3 year extension. I know you have to run to get back to the
TSN. Yeah, I got to run now. They're calling me.
One quick name or target you would hope for from a Sabres standpoint up front?
Well, obviously, I don't want to say I want a big name, but I want somebody that's going to come in and be able to fill in a top spot, right? So you look at the free agent. I knew that Gensel was not going to be there. Stamkos is gone. Marcia. So I think it's getting to be slim picking right now. I still think you got to circle around and look at Marty Natchez and maybe try to make a deal there. So that would be one. Or Nick Ehlers. I think there's still both of them right there.
All right, Marty, enjoy the rest of your day at TSN. Thank you so much. Obviously, no matter what source you typically go to for NHL news on television, it's well-balanced on this day. TSN Sportsnet, NHL Network, ESPN, it's all happening right now. And as you can tell, it's pretty crazy just what has happened here right off the hop. And Shayna Goldman is going to come in from The Athletic momentarily just to really, bring the opinions. I know Shannon's going to have some incredible hot takes here as to what's unfolded. I know that throughout the course of this past year, even with Stamkos was hitting 40 goals, there was great concern, especially through how Shayna views the game and what Tampa struggled with this year, which was 5-on-5 play, as to what Stamkos' ability was and impact was long-term. It's hard, though, to get over the actual goal scoring that he continues to bring on an annual basis. So have they replaced all of that with Jake Ensel for the next 7 years? Probably not, but the 5-on-5 game should be, in the Lightning's eyes, improved. And Stamkos, of course, while going to Nashville, has already posted on social saying that he doesn't really have the words yet to thank Tampa for everything that his career has had to this point. And it will undoubtedly be, quite a change for the Lightning fan base to view their team without their captain, without the, and again, down the line you go with marquee players that will still be there with Tampa, and you can add Jake Gensel to the list. But it looks like Stamkos certainly not alone in his decision to join the Predators. This is a Predators team, by the way, that we talked about very recently. Granted, their cap situation is going to improve slightly over time, but they've got about $12 million in dead cap this year, a little over $8 million in dead cap next year. UC Saros likely to have a very team-friendly contract extension moving forward that was talked about during the draft. But Stamkos, with Marchessault and Brady Shea, all agreeing the terms with the Nashville Predators today. So clearly, Shayna Goldman, as we welcome you in on the Free Agent Frenzy Day, it doesn't appear as though that $12 million in dead cap for the Predators this year is hampering their decision-making on this day. Now, they are going to be on the older side of the ledger here. How is this trio of acquisitions going to position the Predators for next season?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's really interesting because on the one hand, it did feel like they were kind of intent on retooling, thinking about the future, thinking about young talent, and all of a sudden they're like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just go for it. And I kind of respect that because when you think of the UC Soros contract, you're like, okay, so you're not just trying to be young and think about the future. Like your focus is on right now and competing with UC Forsberg and Soros all in the heights of their careers, right? And it makes sense why you would. If you have elite talent like that at each position, why not? So I kind of like some of the signings, and I like that they don't have huge terms associated with it up front. The Shea contract's one thing. He's the younger player of this. But for Stamkos and Marchessault, do I love the later years of those deals? No, not at all. But they have so many young players and draft picks that I'm like, maybe this can all balance out.
Yeah, they need those young players to hit eventually. But in the next year or two, it'll be fascinating to see whether they can truly compete and whether Soros is the, you know, that difference maker they desperately needed after McDonough went back to Tampa. They desperately needed another prominent defenseman. They still, in my opinion, need at least one or two more that may come on the lower, cheaper end of free agency. But right now, the report are Stamkos, 4 years, $8 million per. Marchessault, 5 years at $5.5 million per. Brady Shea at 7 years, $7 million. So that's all well and good. Those players are not in the Eastern Conference impacting the Buffalo Sabres. What does impact the Sabres, the deals like Ottawa just made, moving Chychrun to Washington. Nick Jensen comes the other way, but also prominently the Boston Bruins, Chris Johnson reporting that Elias Lindholm, and I felt like this was kind of the landing spot ever from the moment Lindholm left Calgary. It felt like he was going to end up in Boston at some point. He's got a 7-year deal with the Bruins carrying $7.75 million annual value, along with reports indicating that Nikita Zadorov is going to end up there as well. This is pretty prominent for a team that has been at or right near the top of the division for as long as most can remember.
Yeah. Also, back to Nashville 1 second. There is an irony that I do respect of Brady Shea stepping into Ryan McDonagh's place for like the second time. We thought this was going to happen. Now he gets that real shot. But to the Bruins. Well, they needed centers, right? And they didn't get it back in the Ullmark trade, or they didn't get the assets to land them a center. And maybe it's because they had an idea like they'd actually have a true shot at Lindholm, who they've been gearing for so long. And it's a really interesting one because Lindholm has been a hit or miss player. You know, like he's really good with an elite winger. So if you put him with Pastrnak, maybe he's going to cook. Like maybe that'll work. Maybe he could be a shutdown line with Brad Marchand. Like I think you have options there, but he didn't bounce back the way I think a lot of us expected him to in Vancouver. Like he seemed like a prime player to do so, especially with his shooting percentage in mind. So I'm a little curious how it works out in Boston. It's a lot of money to pay someone after a down year. I don't love it entirely. I'm okay with it though, right? The Zadorov one, you knew he was going to get his bag, right? Like after that playoff performance, the vibes, the personality, the fashion, and then the on ice, like he's a legitimately good defenseman. I think you can overpay for so many players, but it's eventually going to build up. And I don't know if the Bruins are worried about that though. Like, think about it. It's not like they're a team that like drafts, develops, and all that. They trade their way out of their problems.
Mm-hmm. I don't, on the surface, love the length and the dollar for Lindholm, but recognizing the situation that he's going into, I suspect that he'll come close to earning, you know, what he's getting, at least in the you know, probably near term. Basically, as long as Marchand is on that team, I think their top-end players are going to benefit. It'll be when that next layer of changeover happens with the Bruins that I would then be concerned. But that's down the road, and the Bruins obviously are in a good spot. Anthony Mantha has signed with Calgary, according to Eric Francis, who's been based in Calgary for over 20 years. That's Anthony Mantha getting a 1-year deal, 3.5, after it didn't really work out in Vegas as they were eliminated in round number one. The obvious news that was off the top of the show, we were talking about the Sabres, with Sam Lafferty, who was in Vancouver last year as part of that team's turnaround. The reports indicate 2 years at $2 million per, and Frank Saravalli just tweeted that that the Sabres have agreed to terms with veteran forward Jason Zucker at 1 year and $5 million. So a quick thought, obviously, here on Sabres Live, Shana, about those two acquisitions by the Sabres.
Yeah, I think Lafferty's like a good versatile player. He's good to have. He could play center. He could play a wing. He could be trusted in defensive situations. Like that's not a bad player to have. It's just a little bit of utility, and you don't want to overspend on that. And I think the term, the money, it's fine, right? And that's all you want it to be. I know it's not like the most exciting answer, but you don't necessarily need excitement with depth players. For Jason Zucker, if he can be healthy, he's a really good winger. I liked him in Arizona. I've liked him in Pittsburgh. I've liked him in Minnesota. I feel like he goes everywhere and you're like, he is solid. He can drive play relatively well. He's not going to be like the leader on his line, and that's fine. But in a middle six capacity, he could be a really good player to jump in with some like clutch scoring and pretty solid playmaking. A one-year deal, why not, right? And say the Sabres aren't in contention next year and they aren't in the playoff mix. We've seen how teams can, you know, reclaim some value on him, especially if they're willing to retain salary, which Arizona wasn't last year. But ideally, he's the guy that they keep as their own rental in a sense, and he's helping them make that playoff push.
What about Zucker? This is a guy who's been around. I thought he looked sharp fitting in with Nashville at the end last year, but when you view the entirety of his career, where he's at right now, what would your expectation be for this reported one-year deal for Jason Zucker with the Sabres?
I mean, I think you have to be reasonable, right? I wouldn't expect an 82-game season out of him, but I would, you know, you'd hope that he's healthy enough to play as much as possible. I would expect him to honestly chime in on power play two a little bit and kind of take the role that maybe we expected Jeff Skinner to have this year, right? Because you would have thought he would have been that third liner a little bit, and then it was too expensive to have him be that kind of role at his cap. So I wonder if, you know, at $5 million, they can kind of excuse it and make it work.
Shannon Goldman from The Athletic is with us here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's Sabres Live on Free Agent Frenzy Day. And, you know, with Zucker, obviously a short-term player in Nashville, as it turned out, they ended up going in a significant different direction today, bringing in Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea. The Predators tried their best to be the biggest headline makers, and maybe at the end of the day they will be, but boy, oh boy, it has been a pretty significant day so far around the league. What did you think quickly of Brandon Montour? There was half of last year where I was worried, I don't know if he's going to get paid after having that incredible year the season prior. Then it turns out that he kind of worked his way into form, won the Stanley Cup, and did, in fact, get paid by the Kraken.
Yeah, he's a really interesting one because, like, I don't know if I think he's a $7 million defenseman, but I also think he makes sense for a lot of reasons. I think that 2022-23 might have been a little bit of an aberration. Maybe he's not that kind of scorer, and that's okay. I also think this year was kind of an undercut of what he could do. He came back from injury. It took him a while to get going. He had a low on-ice shooting percentage. Like, those things work against the player. And also, they weren't trailing games as often as they were the year before, that they needed that dramatic comeback where he'd score a ton. Having said that, you still want to see that middle ground. And I feel like that's what Seattle is probably going to get from him between the two seasons. Like, a scoring rate right down the middle would be fine. Is he the best play driver from the back end? No. Is he solid at it, though? Yeah, why not? You know, like, he has the offensive spark, and if you can shelter him, he can freewheel and play to his strengths and be, you know, a power play one quarterback. I'm curious how that works out with Vince Dunn. Does he reach his full value if he's not on power play one? I'm not so sure of that. But I also look at the Kraken and go, well, they need offense, period, the end. They have good defense. So why not have two pairs with an offensive spark to help push the forward group along? I think it's a bet to make.
They need more help up front, though, correct?
I mean, if they could get one superstar winger, I think that would be something. Because I think Beniers is going to bounce back offensively. I think the change of coaching is going to help. The power play coaching, I think, is going to help. And I wonder if Shane Wright gets going in a year or two also, like, to start hitting his stride at the NHL level. Like, I don't know if he's going to start at the NHL this year. I'd hope to see that happen. But I feel like just one more impact winger.
Yes, and obviously, you know, they're an interesting one to watch, but they made their biggest splash UFA-wise to date with the signing of Montour today at 7 years and just under $50 million. We mentioned Zadorov from a former Sabre on the blue line standpoint. His term looks to be 6 years and $5 million per with the Boston Bruins. And as, if you know, if you're just joining us, as far as Sabre news that is reported at this point in time, it is that the Sabres have agreed to terms with forward Jason Zucker, 1 year, $5 million, and you know, versatile bottom six center winger Sam Lafferty, who had 13 goals last year with Vancouver, is expected to be coming to Buffalo, 2 years, $2 million per. What did you make of Buffalo over the weekend and the buyout of Jeff Skinner? And now, based on how free agency has played out so far, Shayna, And it certainly sounded like this from the general manager at the draft in Vegas, and appears to be even clearer now, that a replacement in the top six would come via a trade.
I mean, it feels like that has to happen, right? Because they didn't go for any of these top free agents. I mean, like, opening cap space is one part of it, but not every team can just open cap space. Like, some teams can only open cap space, and that's how they operate, and the Sabres have a ton of assets that they don't need to only go through free agency. Like, they could open up the cap space and then start going on the trade market. So I think that helps them and opens up their options. I think the buyout of Jeff Skinner from a vibes perspective is obviously, like said, you look at all that he did for the Sabres and the locker room, and I think that is one part of it that we can't forget. But on the other hand, like, it's a business, and a $9 million forward, you know, in cap space, it wasn't happening, and they needed a different look, right? They need something else going on in their forward group. They have so many players who are good off the rush, but it just feels like they either need a bona fide goal scorer, a legit playmaker, just one game breaker to really go with, you know, Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins. Like, I feel like that would get them a long way, go a long way. So to open up this cap space to give themselves the opportunity to add one, that's pretty big, right? It's, but now you have to do it.
Do you have any players in mind still that, you know, have been in the rumor mill, in our discussions or your discussions elsewhere, or names that now might appear inevitable to get into the rumor cycle based on how other teams have done their business? I will say this. There was probably a time where people looked at someone like a Tyler Toffoli, for instance, right? Well, he's got his close to retirement contract, might I say, you know, in San Jose. Look, he spent a lot of time in his career in the West, and now he's going to do four more at $6 million per with San Jose.
Yeah. I still wonder about Ehlers. Still, yes. Like them for him, because I still like the idea of a good playmaker. I still like Natchez for them. Mm-hmm. I do worry. I know he has defensive flaws. I totally get that. He's someone that can rush into the zone and do everything you need and then fold back. And I do get the concern there, but I wonder how he looks in a new environment. I don't even hate a line A for Buffalo, because that's your bona fide goal scorer. Again, you're looking at a defensively flawed forward. So I think you'd need to do something that you have that anchor that can help elevate them in a way that you really need. But I don't know. I feel like I want to see what names go on the trade board that haven't been there before. Like, I want to see something different, because we all keep talking about Buchnevich and then the Blues. One minute seem like they're selling him, one minute they don't. And he's someone that still makes sense for me. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious if anyone who's taking on a lot of cap now is going to have to rethink things and move players out.
If you had to choose of the names, and I'll keep Buchnevich off for the time being, because I'm kind of thinking along your lines right now. Like, I don't know if St. Louis is going to move him, but best fit for Buffalo in the short term, i.e. this coming season, if they acquired one of Laine, Natchez, or Ehlers?
Ehlers. He's the most complete, most ready, the most certain of the three. Each player has a little bit of risk to their game. I think he's the most certain. I can't stop saying it. I really think Buffalo just needs like a sick playmaker to just get the power play moving. And I think we saw Byram do that a little bit, but like, ideally Byram can do that on power play too. So someone like Dahlin can just cook and you can go with four forwards. Like, I think that they need that punch up front. But then again, like, you go Ehlers, and then my mind, like, I'm talking about a playmaker, and I'm like, well, there still is Mitch Marner out there. So I'm very curious at how things progress.
Are you thinking that a Marner deal does happen?
I wish I could predict the Leafs, but we're just here to go along for the ride and then make fun of everything that they do afterwards.
Well, but you're probably not making fun of them today. Wouldn't you say they've had a productive day?
They've had a productive day indeed. It's funny. I think that Oliver Ekman-Larsson is just going to become a punching bag there. It's just like the par for the course. And I don't even hate the contract after he bounced back this year. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if Toronto can insulate him the way that Florida did this last year to help him get to his strengths, because we know he's limited at this point in his career. And that's totally okay if you know how to use him. I like the Tanev deal in the beginning. It's going to suck at the end, but hey, that's the beauty of free agency. But I still look at this team, and I almost wonder if Brad Tree Living sometimes like is so focused on the players he knows, you know, and that's where Tanev keeps coming front of mind to me. Like, were there other options that maybe they're overlooking because it's like, this is what we know and this is what we know works. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think he's the most like innovative GM.
Well, they did, in fact, make some moves today. Stolarz looks like it should be, you would think a good deal for them, bolstering the crease. Some of the news to just trickle in the last minutes here before we take a quick break on Sabres Live. And again, if you missed it off the top, the reports right now indicate the Sabres have signed Sam Lafferty to a two-year deal worth $2 million per, and also bring in Jason Zucker at 1 year and $5 million. The most recent deals, Sean Monahan, who had a terrific bounce back season last year, which spent between Montreal and Winnipeg, gets himself 5 years, $5.5 million with the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Oilers are adding one of my all-time favorites in Victor Arvidsson. They are reportedly looking on Jeff Skinner as well. And sources indicate to Frank Saravalli that the Canes have agreed to terms with Will Carrier. I just need to make sure I'm reading this right. 6 years at $2 million per. That is quite a commitment. I love, boy, oh boy. It's like producer Jeff is just feeding me all the names that I love, Victor Arvidsson and Will Carrier, in quick succession here before the break. Shayna, hang tight. We're going to get back to you in just a second. Of course, it's Free Agent Frenzy Day, and Sabres are going to open the home portion of their schedule this year, October 10th. It's Friday night against the LA Kings. Long before we get to that point, they're hosting FanFest as well. It's Saturday, September 14th. Great opportunity to just hang, mingle with the current Sabres alumni throughout the day. There's Hockey Fest, which is the street hockey tournament. Just check it all out, sabres.com/FanFest. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.